Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon, and I'm here with my colleague, Margaret Katz-Kahn. And she and I are here with our guest, Jane Finette. Welcome, Jane.
Hey, thank you so much. It's so great to be here with you.
It's great to have you. So Jane is the executive director of the Women's Impact Alliance. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to the development of young women leaders in social and environmental change. And they serve women from more than 80 countries with access to leadership development and coaching and the growth of a personal network. The Women's Impact Alliance empowers change catalysts to strengthen their leadership, expand their capability, and advance their missions. And that's one of the hats that Jane has worn in her life. She's also formerly a big tech executive from Mozilla and eBay. And she's also the author of a book called Unlocked: How Empowered Women Empower Women. It's a referendum on women's inequality and a toolkit for leveling the playing field for women and girls. And full disclosure, I am actually a pro bono coach for the Women's Impact Alliance, and that's one of the ways that Jane and I are connected with each other. And boy, she's someone that I'm so inspired by and I look up to, and it is such a privilege to have you here on our podcast, Jane. Welcome.
Michelle, thank you so much. And as you were just reminding me before we started, I had completely forgotten that we knew each other even before I created the organization. So that was like more than 8 years ago. So you've also been volunteering for 8 years as well. I can't quite believe it. And so thankful to have all your support and to be here with you and Margaret today.
Yeah. Thanks. So Jane, we have a blog posted that Jane has authored, and I believe it is an excerpt from the book, and it has a pretty unapologetic stance about women and money. Can you share a little bit more, Jane, about your stake?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. And well, and just to backtrack a tiny bit, so my book, How Empowered Women Empower Women, it has a bunch of stories about extraordinary women, advancing women and girls. And it also has these 10 keys, and which are keys. These are things that everyone can do every day to help another sister rise and thrive. And I get asked all the time, so out of the 10 keys, which is the one that you would, you know, say that everyone has to do, or is the most important, or your favorite? I mean, literally, this is all of the above. And it's key number 5, which is the one that we've reposted, which is actually talk about money, like actually talk about money, because, you know, women have a complicated relationship with money. Not everybody, not every woman, but the vast majority of us do. And yet, earning more money, being able to spend our money in ways which serve us and the world, leads to financial security, independence, and really, I think, massive shifts in the way the world works. When women have more money, the world is going to look different. So my stake is that I want women to talk about money so they become more familiar, so they can do different things with their money, get more of it, and create a very different world for us all.
So I make up, Jane, that there's some kind of a personal story for you as to why you thought this was one of the important keys to bring up in your book. So what had you, you know, interested in this topic and, you know, feeling it's so important for women to know about talking about money?
Yeah, well, you know, it's thank you for being so intuitive there. Of course you're Of course you are. And let me tell you, like, so, I mean, this is one of those things where it's like not do as I say, not as I do, because for sure, this is a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me fundraising for the Women's Impact Alliance. It's one of, you know, I would say that I'm great at growing organizations. I'm great at getting volunteers excited. Everything we do about the org is great. Fundraising, not so much for me. So I love what you do with your organization, because we need more of that. I need more of that. And, you know, I grew up in a family where my parents both working class, they worked in factories. And my mom ran our household down to the pennies. You know, I grew up in the middle of the UK in the 70s, early 80s. And I mean, my mom knew how to budget. She would, the money that came in, the groceries, the bills, what have you. Women know how to handle money. But if there was anything extra, that was the realm of my father. And so he was the one that had the skills or some of the skills to invest it and so on and so forth. So, you know, I didn't really grow up with a whole bunch of skills. And women, I mean, in the early 1970s, it was only this time where, I can believe this, women didn't even have the right to keep the money they earned until 1971 in the UK. Similarly, here in the United States, women couldn't buy a house, they couldn't get a loan, they had to have a male family member sign that off. So, you know, you can do the math, I'm going to be 50 soon, but we've got like not very many generations of women even owning the money that they earned. So, there's a big shortfall here. And, you know, so yeah, there's a lot of my personal experience from what I've witnessed. I've worked really hard in my career. I've been able to have more disposable income. And I have a fantastic financial advisor and a fantastic husband that helps me. But I've told myself the story forever that math is my weak point and I'm not good with money and I don't understand investing. And yet I see what women do differently when they have disposable income and how they use that money, right? For not only to help themselves and their families, but what they do in their communities and therefore the world. It's a vehicle. And one of the things, you know, I think is so important for us to realize is that those people who have the most money, they get to decide what's most important. And if the vast majority of the world's wealth is held by nine white guys, you know, then those decisions about the world and how that runs looks very different. And unless, you know, we had more women and more people of color also with equal amounts of wealth to decide how the world works.
Thank you for sharing that story. And Margaret, it comes up to me, like, you know, we often talk about the story of money. Like each of us as individuals have a story of money in our lives that we have gotten from our experience and what we create and what we see in the world. And those stories are powerful. They really are.
Yeah, they really are. You know, and I, you know, work often and love working with people who do need to fundraise and, you know, and it inspires dread in them before they meet me, hopefully not after. But the dread comes from often, you know, it's like they're walking around with a parent on their shoulder still, you know, talking in their ear about, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, or we don't ask for things in this family, or we, you know, those are some of the, you know, there's a long, long list of the stories that people have about money. That we get a lot about our families, you know, in there.
Sorry. And I hate to say it, like splitting down gender lines, you know, or, you know, male, female lines, but the, you know, little girls are told, right, you should save it, save your money, you know, you have to be careful with it. There's kind of like, there's a belief that if girls spend money, they're going to go crazy and spend all of it, you know, or it's rude to talk about money as a young girl and so on. And yet our boys are taught money is a vehicle, you know, you have to earn it. You have to make your money work hard for you, you know, and sharing tips and tools. And there's a familiarity with talking about money in a positive way, but for girls it's negative. And I do think that it carries through.
Right. So we get these really different messages. So I, you know, when I was reading through the blog, I love this idea, like talk about money, talk about money, talk about money. And I'm curious, like, I know that there's a connection. I know that there is. And just, but I'm curious about your specific vision. You know, how is it that if we talk about money, then women are going to have more comfort or earn more, or, you know, how does that work together?
Yeah. Well, to me, it comes back to familiarity, and it comes back to like myth busting the shame around it. You know, we are incredibly smart. We're incredibly conscious about the world, And if we are not breeding our own skills and familiarity when it comes to investing the money for ourselves and the planet, we are, I mean, we're doing ourselves a great disservice, and we're doing the planet one as well. Sally Crawchank, she's the, I'm sure you know her. She's the founder and CEO of Elevest, which is the first $1 billion women's investment company. And she says, I'm sorry to be a little crass here, but she says, you know, women would rather talk about what they did in the bedroom last night than talk about money. They'd rather tell their adult child to leave the house finally and go find somewhere else to live than actually talk about money. And I think this is crazy that it throws up so much anguish and pain to actually discuss, you know, how much money do I have in my bank account? What should I do with that? We know that women hold 70% of their wealth in savings accounts. And I know the interest, we know this is toward the end of 2022, and the interest rates in America, at least, are going up. But really, I mean, before we were looking at 0% interest on our money. And maybe, I mean, you're playing the stock market, but you have to see that as a long-term game, but potentially more like 9 to 10% return on investment. And so the statistic which kills me every single time is that two-thirds of women in America over the age of 65 have the potential to retire into poverty. Two-thirds of women over 65 could retire into poverty. But it makes total sense, right? We live longer. We earn less money, 82 cents on a dollar, and then you don't invest it. And if that compounds over a lifetime, how can it be that we worked all of our lives and could retire into poverty? It kills me. So there's an imperative here that I'm like, we cannot let our other sisters here and for ourselves fall into this state.
And it's that silence that I've been talking about. It's that silence that's actually, you know, kills that momentum. Because if we talk more about money and get more ideas about how to invest it or make it grow over time, yeah, that has that benefit in our old age. And, you know, one of my allies around money in my life was my dad. So he was a CFP, a certified financial planner. And thank God, you know, as the father of two girls, he was constantly talking to my sister and I about the long-term investment of money. And without him, I don't think it wouldn't have ever occurred to me, right, to have those kind of conversations. And so, you know, finding people that are, you know, can talk about it and being willing to be vulnerable to talk about it and ask questions that you might think are really dumb. It's like, oh, I think everybody must know this answer. No.
Yeah. There's story that I love, which is that one of my sons took a business class in college, and on the day they talked about compounding interest and, you know, how the stock market could work. And his professor said, you know, if you put $1,000 into an account now, like by the time you're 75, it's going to be worth, I can't remember the number exactly, but, you know, $70,000 or $80,000 possibly. And he called and he was like, how do I start a retirement account? And I, of course, said something snarky, you know, it's customary to actually work before you start thinking about retirement. But that was all he needed, though, right? Was to like have that laid out for him. You know, if you put $1,000 into something now and you watch it grow, like it's going to compound and then that's going to make more, right? Like just that whole concept, that was all, like he was off to the races, you know. And it occurs to me, those are the conversations, right? I mean, if you keep all of your money in a savings account, nobody has ever explained that to you.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. And, you know, people think women are risk averse, maybe some of that. But I think that we don't, the other part, which I'm really glad to see, there are some growing organizations where, you know, women do want to have transparency in where their money is invested. And there aren't the mechanisms. And the vast majority, I mean, if you look at Schwab or, you know, all of these, like, you don't really know if your money is going to tobacco or oil or, you know, whatever thing that you don't quite fancy having your money invested into. And now we are seeing more smaller investment companies, which are actually, some of them are really being aimed specifically at women, where there is, oh, I get to choose that I want to invest in clean tech or education, ed tech companies, or whatever it might be. And I think that women want their money, if they're going to invest it, to also be working hard for them, but also working hard for the planet. And I know I'm massively overgeneralizing there, but I think that we do have a level of consciousness about where that money is going to be invested and what good it will do.
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned, Jane, too, the aspect of fundraising. And so many of our listeners are women who are in the fundraising realm and nonprofits. There, it happens to be an area that's majority women for whatever reason. And the stories that we have about our own personal stories that we have about money, lack of or saving or investing or whatever that is, actually comes into the story that we have as fundraisers for organizations too. And there are impacts like on the organization if we have trouble asking for money for the organization. So, you know, you can see how this sort of string of the story and the lack of transparency about talking about money for women can really have vast impacts in the nonprofit world.
Yeah, most definitely. And we're, you know, as it is in the for-profit world, only about, at least in this last year, even less than 2% of venture capital funding goes to women founders. Likewise, in the nonprofit world, 2% approximately of nonprofit funding goes to women-focused nonprofits. And so how will we ever grow the pie for all of us, right, doing this work for women if we don't get comfortable talking about money?
Yeah, it does occur to me, though. I mean, you know, many of us do have loving men in our worlds. Like, what is the role for men here?
I mean, I would also love them to be talking to us about money, like being an ally in that. I get asked that very often, you know, what can men do to help? And I think in particular, to be talking to them just as your dad did, Michelle, actually to younger women as well, like to really realize the younger a woman is when she can get more and more comfortable with money, like just imagining or just reassessing also in your own house, you know, how do we happen to be doing things differently with our daughter than we do our son? Maybe you don't, but maybe it would be good to just get conscious of that for a little bit and just see, do you treat them any differently? And in the workplace, the younger women, encouraging them to talk about money. As I just kind of threw that comment in earlier, but women are earning 82 cents on the dollar in the United States. It's something like 37%, women earn 37% less globally for the same or similar work. So these are huge differences, 100 years in America before Black women will get equal pay, 200 plus years for Latino women. So having our male allies help us talk about money, but also, are you doing equal pay assessments in your organization? Are we actually making sure that we are paying women for equal pay for equal work and so on? So things like this, to be educated and be aware that you may not realize this is actually happening.
Yeah. Right. And if we're not willing to talk about money, we're less likely to ask for a raise or, you know, ask for, negotiate for salary. I mean, as somebody who did a lot of hiring, you know, the men are really good at, you know, negotiating and asking for raises. They really are consistently, I mean, at least in my small universe, they were bolder about that always. Not always, but
absolutely.
Often.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to be, we have to advocate our worth. Yeah. Men can help us do this, but then this comes back to, you know, us having the confidence and us really believing that we deserve as well to get paid for our expertise and our experience. Yeah. We can't just accept what we're given.
Well, what would some advice be from you, Jane, for our audience to give them something to try?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, it takes some guts, but I would say as soon as you finish listening to this awesome podcast, go for any woman, the first woman you see, like go and talk to her. Say, I heard this podcast about women and money, and I think we ought to start having more conversations. And, you know, however you start that, I mean, this is a very bold thing to do, but we just talked about salary. Like, wow, like imagine walking up to someone in your office and saying, hey, like, you know, we're women together, or, you know, if you're a gentleman and saying, hey, are you happy with your salary? You know, not to start a revolution, but maybe to start a revolution in your organization. who knows? That sounds like a really big thing. In the book, I mention a woman who started Friday afternoon, a small get together for a small circle of women in her network to just come together and talk about money. And they would talk about their fears, talk about what they didn't know, talk about what their aspirations were. So it doesn't have to be a big thing, whether you are sitting at your kid's soccer game and you can talk to some, you know, another parent, whether you do decide to organize something a little bit more formally and bring a group of people together once a month to talk about money, whether it's a lunchtime conversation. But I would really encourage you, like, as a woman, try and bring this into the conversation once every day. Whether it's with your husband, your mom, you know, a sister, your work colleagues, like let's challenge ourselves because, yeah, the more we ask, the more we say, the more we'll learn, the more we'll do things differently.
Yeah, and there could even be like, you know, if you've got a child or a young person in your life, dare to tell them what you make, what your salary is, so they can see like what is salary? What is a number? Like, what does that mean in your life? You know, so having these conversations is just so, so important.
It was so shocking to me. A funny story just happened to me like a week ago. So my goddaughter is, she's living with me for a year, and we're big equestrians. And so she's having some horse riding lessons. And I understand that there's a lot of privilege with that. But she was late, and I was a little bit angry, a little bit annoyed, and I ended up telling her how much the riding lesson was, and her jaw just a bit hit the floor in the car getting there, and she had no idea the cost of things. So I think it's so important that we can share these things, and then, you know, for them to understand the value. Mm-hmm. As parents of, you know, earning your own money and things like this, it's really critical.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband and I have shared our family financial spreadsheet that we use every month just to keep track of costs and what our salaries are and everything with both of our kids, my son and my daughter, just so they could have a sense of, you know, what do mom and dad make and where does the money go? And, you know, how much does college
and how
cost?
Long it takes to earn that,
right? How long it takes to earn it. And absolutely. So, and it's a constant challenge to keep the transparency going and all of that. So keep the conversations going.
Yeah. And there's something important to be said about this narrative we have around like impolite, right? That needs to be flushed down the toilet, really, right? Yeah. Like we just have to be willing to bring these things up.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the money is just a tool, isn't it? It's just to get from A to B and make this X and Y happen and so on. You know, so many women are in the impact space, wanting to create impact in the world. And money is the tool to do that. The more we have, the more change we'll make.
Yeah. Jane, I'd love to just, what are maybe one or two of the other keys that you talk about in the book?
Oh, thank you. So a bit really, my favorite is this one, which is just say yes. Just say yes. So if a woman comes to you and she asks for something, just say yes. because she'd have gone through seven shades of hell to get to the point that she actually even asked for help, right? Like, please, can you review this thing? Please, could you introduce me to blank blank? Could you give me a recommendation on LinkedIn? Whatever it might be. Know that she has gone through some pain before she got to the point where she asked for help. So if you can, just say yes. And if you can't, please say no and tell her to keep going, right? Don't just, you know, kind of ghost her. So she'll keep going. Another real, you know, it's a big one, which is a big topic, but it's, I call it send the elevator down. So it's just, you know, it shouldn't be so hard for women to get to the top. So if you have reached some position of, let's say, power and influence, then help some younger women get a foot up the ladder and follow up the mountain. That means access to network, providing more opportunities for coaching and leadership development. Certainly making sure that our young women get the same opportunities to grow in their careers faster, because we know that they are also being held back from those first managerial roles, which is the key to, we're talking about compounding returns, right? Likewise, when it comes to opportunity and those first management roles, if they are held back until mid-career, they're just never going to catch up. And then we wonder why we don't have women in the executive suite or C-suite and so on.
Great. Wonderful. I love that. And this is all wisdom from Jane's book, Unlocked, right? Am I saying the name correct?
Yes.
Great. And we'll put a link.
Absolutely.
We will put a link in the show notes of how people can find that if they are interested. So thank you so much for being with us today, Jane, and for beating an important drum and giving us all something to think about.
So I hope we're all gonna talk about money later on some more.
Absolutely. So this podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs to grow nonprofit leaders. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And here's my money note. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a one-time contribution. This supports our production costs and helps keep the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.